At this time, I would like to call this meeting to order. It is 6:05 on, I believe, November 2nd, 2017. I would like to report to our audience members that the Board of Education just completed a study session with school administrators, which began at 5 p.m., and was followed by a wonderful choral performance by the Dunstan Middle School students, which began at 4:30. Would like to welcome all of you and ask that you please stand and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic where it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Could we have a roll call, please?
Ms. Harmon?
Here.
Ms. LaSalle?
Here.
Mr. Mitchell?
Here.
Mr. Rupert?
Here.
Ms. Stevens?
Here.
Mr. Mitchell, I'd move that the Board of Education approves the agenda for the regular business meeting of November 2nd, 2017, as revised with the movement of honors item 4.01, the 5A tennis tennis singles state champion to the December agenda, and renumbering the subsequent agenda items as necessary.
It's been moved that we approve the agenda with a modification because our state champion from Chatfield is not here. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Discussion, board members? Roll call, please.
Ms. Harmon?
Yes.
Ms. LaSalle?
Yes.
Mr. Mitchell?
Yes.
Mr. Rupert?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
We'll begin now with one of our favorite parts of our board agendas and meetings, and that is the component that we call honors and recognition. And I think we'll start with Ms. Stevens.
Good evening. Tonight we're recognizing Jeffco Open School's robotics team for a fun yet educational award they received in early October. So while I speak, would we, the Robotics and Technology Student Consortium members, coaches, and Jeffco Open's principal, Scott Bain, please come to the front of the room. And while you're making your way up here, I'm going to share a little bit more info about this. On October 7th, the robotics team from Jeffco Open School competed in the annual Punkin' Chunkin' contest at the Arapahoe County Fairgrounds in Aurora. Pumpkin chucking, or for rhyming purposes, Punkin' Chunkin', is the sport of hurling or chucking a pumpkin solely by mechanical means for distance. The devices include slingshots, catapults, trebuchets, and other contraptions. Teams make multiple attempts to chuck their pumpkin for the greatest distance possible and are awarded for the longest of their attempts. This creative team, also known as the Dead Ents Resurrection Team, a Hobbit reference, Lord of the Rings, yay, designed and built a trebuchet that launched their pumpkin 493 feet, earning the team first prize in the youth division. Additionally, student Kyle Ross won the youth division for a human-powered slingshot pumpkin chuck.
All right, young David.
Beyond the fun and excitement of the event, students were engaged in the authentic learning tasks that are the hallmark of the new learning-centered vision of Jeffco Schools, our Jeffco Generations. Please join me in congratulating the Robots and Technology Student Consortium members for their win. We are proud of how they represented Jeffco Open and Jeffco Public Schools.
Over 400 feet, that's more than a football field.
Right. That's pretty awesome.
I think, yeah.
Do we have a picture?
Oh, good.
Me too.
Trading card. There's a Punkin' Chunkin' trading card? Really? I love it.
While these students are leaving the front of the room, I simply have to say the number was pretty impressive. Over 450 feet, they managed to chunk a pumpkin down there. I don't remember the exact number, but thank God they wear their hard hats for that kind of activity. That's what I think.
You take a person out with a pumpkin like that.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, they put it down there. So, Mr. Rupert.
Well, tonight we're fortunate to be recognizing two educators for honors awarded to them for excellence in education. I have the distinct pleasure of beginning with the 2017 Colorado Association for Bilingual Education's Teacher of the Year. So would educator Amanda Duncan please make your way on up here to the front of the boardroom. Ms. Duncan teaches sixth grade at Foster Elementary. Go Foster Elementary, as their dual English-Spanish literacy teacher. On September 20th, the Colorado Association for Bilingual Education, also known as CABE, honored Ms. Duncan at their annual gala as the 2017 CABE Bilingual Teacher of the Year.
Wow.
According to CABE, the honoree must have distinguished herself as a leader, outstanding teacher, and an advocate for bilingualism, biculturalism, and biliteracy. Amanda not only met but exceeded all of their criteria. She's proven her ability to inspire emerging bilingual students of various backgrounds and abilities to excel. Teachers like Amanda are becoming increasingly more valuable in our collective future. So won't you please help me congratulate Amanda on this very special honor.
And now I have the privilege of recognizing a second excellent teacher in Jefferson County. Would Clark Stuckey please come forward? I'm honored to recognize the 2017 Outstanding Teacher of the Year selected by the Council on Learning Disabilities, Mr. Clark Stuckey, pronounced, got it. Mr. Stuckey is a special education department chair at Chatfield High School. Was recognized at the Council on Learning Disabilities International Conference on October 19th in Baltimore, Maryland. He's been an educator for 24 years and takes pride in listening and learning to develop a program that fits the student and the family's needs. Additionally, Clark started an annual tournament where over 200 special needs athletes participate in a day of competition, friendship, and community. The Sigma Pi Chatfield Unified Basketball Tournament has been hosting this event for 17 years. Next March, over 20 teams are expected to participate, with eight of those teams coming from Jeffco. Please help me congratulate Mr. Stuckey on his honor and his dedication to our special education students and family in Jeffco.
Give a guy a minute.
That concludes our honors and recognition tonight. We did have to postpone recognition of a Chatfield student who won the 5A tennis tournament, state tennis tournament, and we'll do that in December. We'll move now to leadership reports. Dr. Glass, would you like to begin your monthly superintendent's report?
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd be happy to. And you'll start to see some of the changes in our marketing and branding that were apparent in the Jeffco Generations document appear in things like the, let's see if we can get this put up, like the PowerPoint that I have tonight. So there's an intentional shift in our branding marketing approach to start using images of our kids, images of our beautiful community, natural features that are here. This is a great place to live, great place to raise a family. So we just want to start highlighting that more and also kind of shift the color scheme to be something more engaging and exciting. So you'll start to see things like that happen, and you'll see some of that tonight. So as you all know, the Jeffco Generations document was released on October 11th. We've had a great amount of conversation around that document already, around some of the ideas. But what we hope to do over this next month is really intentionally engage the community and the staff and the students in a broader conversation around this document, what we mean by learning, conditions for learning, readiness for learning, what questions remain unanswered, what things need to be more critically examined, what elements are missing from this vision document. And we are creating some ways to capture that. One is through my blog, Advanced Jeffco. Another is through a Facebook group that's been created where we're encouraging just conversation around this. So I think we have, as of today, we started yesterday, 650 members already added to the Facebook group. So that may be the place that people go to kind of interact and have a conversation about this. But we're also going to work with our principals next week around how we give them some tools and some strategies on how they can engage these conversations at the building level and in the community level. We really want to get feedback on what people like, what people think are missing, and then take that to you when we have our board retreat in December to talk about how we turn this idea into a strategic plan with some more clear direction on what these things mean. We start to sharpen it up then and add some things that you may want included in the document too, or questions that you may have, because it really should be the board's strategic plan. You serve as the voice of our community and should set the tone and direction for where we're headed as an organization. So that's coming up this next month. I did want to, touch on just some school visits and highlight some things that have been going on. Some of you may have seen on social media, I was the undercover boss at Longview High School a couple of weeks ago and had a wide-ranging set of topics that we talked about and worked on with the kids, ranging from the decline of the Roman Empire to the issues and conditions leading up to the Vietnam War, Fourth Amendment and student search and seizure, all the way to 20th century Japanese culture. So it was an exciting day. I was paired with a wonderful teacher and got to spend a great day with the kids. It was just a wonderful experience. And I'll try to do that in the spring as well. And I already had a principal here that has pulled me into that. So I'm looking forward to that. You also may have heard we started a new podcast that we call Talking Ed. I don't know where that came from. It just popped into my head one day. But our first edition featured Representative Chris Kennedy and our lobbyist, Ed Bowditch, talking about education policy and looking ahead to the legislative session. So if you hadn't had a chance to check that out, please do so. We're going to try to do that monthly and have a really wide-ranging set of guests and topics that we talk about. We did end with what we think is going on with the Broncos, so you make sure you want to hear that part at the very end. There's some theories about that. I have had a number of interactions with Warren Tech tours at Central North, and then this week with a group of Warren Tech students, we toured the Never Summer Industries, the snowboard manufacturer, and our students are doing some of the graphic art and design that goes on the snowboards, and so they were there to tour and see the process of how skis and snowboards are made, and so it was a fascinating hands-on experience. Met with the Principal Advisory Committee talking about Jeffco Generations, also the Strategic Plan Advisory. The district has that community group as well that's working on advising us around the strategic plan. We talked about generations, and I got some feedback from them on that. I had a briefing about the community schools model at Jefferson Junior Senior High School. That was an amazing discussion. It's completely congruent with the ideas that are within the Jeffco Generations document. It's certainly in its beginning, and there are some things that they're working through, but I think it's got real promise, and I'm excited about where it will head. I visited Thompson Elementary School and talked with their staff yesterday. Met with the JCAA board this morning, and we had another one of those conversations around the Jeffco Generations document and what some of their thoughts were and where we might be headed. And I wanted to update you on the Wheat Ridge High School GT funding issue that's been debated and talked about for this past year. I'm pleased to report to you that I have received and accepted a recommendation from the group of stakeholders at Wheat Ridge High School regarding a resolution on the question of how we will continue to support this successful program that's at the school. You may recall that we had a meeting in September to update the community on the issue and seek participants who wish to be involved in that group. Candidates were evaluated to be on the committee based on the role they represented, and there was an interest in creating a balance of perspectives and roles and representatives on the group. I want to thank our chief legal counsel, Craig Hess, who led the group through something called a rapid improvement event. I told him that sounded like the title of a Steven Seagal film, but it sounded really exciting. Rapid improvement event exercise where the group looked at a number of different possible options and arrived at a solution. They have provided their recommendation to me, and we will be using that going forward into the budgeting process for 18-19 on how the program will be funded and sustained going forward. So you will have the chance to, the opportunity to weigh in on that through the budgeting process and really evaluate that recommendation as well. But I, again, would like to personally thank the representatives of the group, several of whom are here with us tonight. And if you were a part of that group, could you stand and be recognized? Yes, just thank you for all the work that you guys did on that. Yeah. Okay, some community news and highlights. I met with the Rotary of Golden and had another conversation around where we were headed as a school district and around the Generations document. Met with the Jeffco Schools Foundation, have had that conversation as well. And we've had some initial conversations with the Public Education and Business Coalition about how we strengthen that partnership. And we were doing a lot of work with PEBC in Eagle. I know that they have some work that they've done in Jeffco as well, but they're really interested in scaling up that approach and bringing more of their teacher residents into Jeffco. I'm entirely supportive of that. And their work around authentic student tasks is entirely congruent with where we'd like to go with the student learning experience in Jeffco, in the Jeffco Generations document. So we'll look to expand that. I also met with the folks from AVID, and that stands for Advancement Via Individual Determination. It's really a sort of executive function and study skills and grit determination program that is across the country now. They're interested in expanding as well, and so we'll continue those conversations and think about where that might be the right fit. I've met with retired principals. In addition to always thinking about where Jeffco should go, I do recognize that there's a lot of talent here and a lot of stories, and this is a community with a strong sense of pride when it comes to their schools, so I meet regularly with retired principals as well. And last night, I had a great conversation with representatives of Southwest Jeffco Homeowners Associations and heard some of their concerns and thoughts and where they were excited about where our schools were headed, so good conversation last night. At the state and national level, several of you attended a Colorado education messaging discussion that we had at Warren Tech Central, where we talked about sort of the polarized debate that is present in education really across our country on a number of levels, and how we might work against that to try and bring people into a conversation, a productive and positive conversation around the future of education that I think is important for our country as well. I got a chance to meet Senator Jesse Danielson. I have one of our elected officials that I still need to make a connection with, and we'll make sure that happened, but that was a great conversation I had with her. Van Scholes and I, Van is the executive director of A-Plus Colorado, and we're both education policy wonks, so we get together on a regular basis and have lunch and talk about that, so it was great to see Van. And the governor's budget was released today, so that was exciting in that we see, at least from the governor's initial budget, some positive momentum in terms of school funding and some buying down of the negative factor or the budget stabilization factor or the BS factor, whichever one of those you want to call it. But we saw some positive things come out in the governor's budget. Now, the governor's budget is just the first step in the budget process. It will go through the legislation. There will legislative process. There will be lots of give and take in that. But today was a good start in that. And On the federal level, there are conversations happening around tax policy right now that are of concern to Jeffco Public Schools. One is the state and local tax deductions. So there's a conversation around eliminating those state and local tax deductions. So that's a concern for school districts across the country and what that might mean. We're also concerned about the changes to potential changes to the retirement contribution deductions. There's a conversation around eliminating or dramatically reducing deductions related to 401ks, 403bs, things like that. And of course, we're encouraging our employees to add to their payroll contributions with their own private retirement contributions and savings. And so we're concerned about what it might mean for our employees if that were taken away. There was some excitement in Washington and around the country around special education and the U.S. Department of Education. The U.S. Department of Education under Betsy DeVos released a series of repeals or rollbacks or removals of several documents related to guidance for special education. There was sort of this fear that they were removing protections, guidelines, guidance documents. As I've reviewed these, I think several of them were older, out of date, and so they're just updating or removing things that had been replaced or updated already, but there were about 70 of them, and there wasn't a great deal of communication about why they were doing it and what it meant, so it sort of created this panic in the special education community across the country about what was happening. So now we see the U.S. Department of Education working to explain, here's what we were doing. So we'll continue to evaluate, of those 70-some documents that were repealed, what that means going forward. And then looking ahead, this is what my next 2 weeks look like, and I'll try to be quick through this. The generations conversations will continue, and I've talked about that. I'm headed to the La Cosecha conference tonight. That's the nation's largest dual language conference, and a colleague and I are presenting on the implementation of dual language across an entire system, so I'm excited about that. I'm fly out tonight. I'll be back Saturday. The Financial Oversight Committee, I'll meet with those folks, and they come and we'll brief you on the first quarter report. The Alameda area is interested in expanding dual language across that whole system, so we'll begin those conversations with those principals. Wheat Ridge is having a future search meeting where they're talking about how do they begin working together as a system and where they want to head, so I'll be attending that. Election Day is, of course, next week, and I know several of you are ready to have that in the rearview mirror. I'll be meeting with the folks from the Colorado League of Charter Schools to talk about where we can partner and work more closely with them. Great Ed Colorado is having an event on November 8th at Dinosaur Ridge. We'll be talking about education and funding in Jeffco. I encourage you to attend. We'll be looking at our facilities plans in the week after next, thinking about the facilities improvements projects, the capital improvements projects that we have underway already, and the ones that we plan for this next spring and even the year ahead. So we're going to do some work around that, working to bring you recommendations in December around all those projects. I'll be meeting with the Colorado Education Initiative, again, similar to what we were doing with PEBC, just thinking about where we can strengthen those partnerships and where our interests are aligned. I'll be talking education with the West Chamber in a couple of weeks as well. They're interested in just wanting to know where we're headed as a school district, so we'll talk about generations there as well. I'll meet with Aaron Kane, the interim superintendent in Douglas County, and we'll talk about some of the similarities that we have with that community and how we're working to bring our communities together. I'll be visiting with JCAA, and they have a principal recognition event, and so I encourage all of you to attend that. Helen will provide you some information on when and where that's happening. Jeffco PTA, we're having that conversation. The Center for Quality Teaching is a national group, and so I'm having a conversation with them. They're interested in doing more work and outreach in Jeffco, and so we'll have that conversation with them. On the 13th, the Jeffco Foundation Hero Awards are happening. I haven't been to this event yet, so I'm excited about attending my first one. Look forward to seeing several of you there. Well, I'll have my second student voice town hall. We bring about 150, 200 Jeffco students into this room, and I stand in the middle, and they ask me questions, and I see if I can answer. And it's a fast-paced, about hour conversation. At our last one, it flew by, and I said, if there are any questions I didn't get to answer, please send them to me. And so they sent me 3 pages of questions. But they were great, and so I really appreciate getting a chance to interact with the students. We'll have the folks from Deliver Ed in to review our capacity for executing a strategic plan, and I know that we've got a special meeting set up for you to talk with the Deliver Ed folks after they do their focus groups. I'll be meeting with the District Accountability Committee also to talk about Jeffco Generations again. They've already had one briefing on that, but now the document's out. They want to have a more in-depth conversation. I'm looking forward to that. The Minority Educators Advisory Committee, I'm looking forward to having conversations with them. They're interested in how we improve our recruiting for minority educators, and there's a number of ideas we've got around that, and Amy and her team have already done some thinking around how we execute that, so I'm excited about that. Be meeting with the Jeffco Republican Party to talk again about how we can bring the community together. We'll have Jeffco University, the second session, coming up. We have had the first one already. This next one is going to focus on the instructional core, teaching and learning. And then we'll also record Talking Ed Episode 2. So you have to wait and see what happens. So that's all the next 2 weeks. And here's the kids that I was working with at Longview Junior Senior High School, as well as their Vietnam vet and musician who likes to volunteer at the school as well. So great group of kids, fantastic, bright. The future's going to be great for these kids. I'm excited about them. So thank you, Mr. President. Now that concludes my remarks. All
right. Thank you, Dr. Glass. We move now to board reports. It's our turn to take a couple of minutes if we have information we'd like to share. Mr. Rupert, you ready to start with that?
Well, sure. I also joined the tour at Central Warren Tech, and I'll tell you what, the programs going on there, I think we have a lot to be proud of there. They partner not only with our own high schools, but with Red Rocks, and kids get really a great exposure and college credits in many of the programs, and they come out with certifications that provide them an entry to careers directly out of, after graduation, and I think that's exactly what we've been talking about. Actually, that conversation is happening around the country, and I think we are way ahead of the curve, and Warren Tech really is something to be proud of. I also started my school visits again a couple weeks back, so I've been to a number of the schools in my my own area, and I'll tell you what, the school visits are inspiring. Looking at seeing what's going on in the schools, seeing our leaders, our principals, and our teachers responding to challenges in really constructive ways for the good of the children, I'm excited by what's going on in our schools, and that really is an inspiring part of what we do.
Thank you. Ms. Harmon, go ahead.
Sure. Busy time of the year. I've been at a number of PTA meetings and accountability committee meetings, as well as parent-teacher conferences recently, and always impressed with the work that is being done. And it seems to me, the meetings seem to be growing, which I think is nice to see. The meetings that I attend seem to have more parents, which is great. And I hope that that continues, because it's a great way of being a part of the education system. And I did attend one unique event recently, the Teen Project event, which I did not know much about that group, but and I did pull up their website just so I don't misstate it. But it's their mission is to help kids that are transitioning out of the foster care system at age 18 and building a bridge for them educationally through mentors, through supports that they need, with one of their statistics being that 62% of former foster youth end up homeless and only 5% end up attending college. So significant challenges as they're aging out of the system, but that bridge to helping them get to their next phase, and some really wonderful presentations about just having that support system to provide them those additional opportunities when they don't have that home base that so many students and families have. So it was a really interesting group. And I know that they are partnering with some of our high schools and doing some other things. So anyway, it was just something new. I did miss our Special Education Action Committee meeting. I lost my keys at a store, and so I was late. I know I should have reached out to one of you, but I did read the notes from it, and I spoke with Kevin Carroll, and it sounded like it was a great meeting. So I'm sorry that I had to miss that. And then I attended my regular Green Mountain Connection meeting with the five elementary schools, middle school, and high school in their feeder to hear about all the great things that are happening with fundraising, again, that time of the year, as well as theater programs, talent shows, and watching them share and collaborate things that are working well in their schools and sharing ideas. And that those meetings also seem to be growing, which is great.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Harmon. I guess if we're just going around the table, I'll go ahead and go next. Thank you, Ms. Davis. Well, a couple of quick things. I think I do want to mention that I attended the Warren tour with Dr. Glass and Mr. Rupert. It's with our state legislators. It's been well covered. We have a lot of good things going on up there. I want to mention that I've attended lots of optimists and Kiwanians meetings, it seems, in the last 6 weeks now. You would think that I've been doing that because of the campaign and the election, but they're not much interested in that, to be honest with you. They simply like to have you come and tell them, you know, what's going on with the Board of Education. And so I've enjoyed those meetings. I want to mention that we had a blue ribbon cutting ceremony at Everett Middle School. Related to, and maybe you were going to cover this, I know you were there too, Allie, but it's really, they received a grant to put a weight room in there for middle school kids. It was an exciting day, and that weight room is really, it's pretty incredible. And last I want to mention, I had an opportunity to attend a VIP tour of the reopening of the Columbine Library. And, you know, I was struck by a couple of things. First of all, it's astoundingly beautiful. It's well lit, both in terms of sunlight coming in, but in terms of the lighting that's been installed, it's just spectacular. And, you know, the Jeffco Libraries passed a bond election, obviously, just about a year ago, and the work they are doing with those dollars is pretty inspiring. And I looked around that library and said, you know, I have to say this to you. This is an example of some work that I really would like to see us doing in Jeffco. I think I'll stop there.
Okay. I just went to a few events and am continually grateful for the partnerships that that Jeffco has. ARSA, Get It Done Breakfast, I know a few of you guys were there. And the Summer of Hope ARC Luncheon.
Oh, yeah.
A few of you guys were there as well. Yes, the Warren Tech tours were great. Amanda, you were there as well. And that was, it's just phenomenal what's happening up there.
It really is.
And Amanda and I attended a Colorado School Finance Project meeting. We do that every month on Friday. And I'll tell you what, that my brain hurts after those meetings. And it is just a group full of nonpartisan people throughout the state of Colorado. It could be superintendents. It's a bunch of CFOs. It's a bunch of economists. On Friday, they spoke about PARA, and they did a PARA briefing. Colorado Education Network was there. There was an update on the state budget, CDA, ESSA implementation and changes. Discussions, and it's just always, it is very enlightening. It's a lot to take in, but it is just very important work, and it's great. There's our just diverse minds in there asking challenging questions, all for the future of public education in Colorado, and it's a great group of brains working and problem solving. Had the school visits are so great. Went to a lot of elementaries and a couple of middle schools, and I'm so grateful. I know I said it last meeting, but I'm very grateful for our elementary and middle school principals I'm so inspired for the hard work they are doing for our sixth grade middle school transition. And it's great work. They're really excited, but I just do want to give a shout out to them because this is additional work for them to be constantly communicating with their communities and giving them updates, and the excitement is building, and so I just want to call out and be grateful for that. I had to observe, I got to tell you, at Vivian Elementary, I observed they do a morning. It's not called a huddle, but it's kind of like a morning huddle every day. They get every student in that building in their gym and around the perimeter of the gym. And Sherry Carter, their principal, is in the middle, and she calls up a few teachers and recognizes them, and calls up a few students and recognizes them for successes that they had had the prior day, or for showing growth in something, or for taking a risk in learning. And they have a new, learning, growth, and succeed. They chant that, and those kids leave that gym, and they're excited. They have a smile on their face, and they're high-fiving their principal. And they're ready for the day. And to me, that was just very inspiring. She's set up a great culture there. I also got to see it at Westwoods, and I had to go back so I could see it again. In their fifth grade, one of their fifth grade electives is an iSTEM elective. And they, kids, every grade level, they are programming these things called spheroids. And the teacher said, you got to come back on Friday. We're doing a spheroids Olympics. And so I went back on Friday, and I saw the spheroids Olympics. And the kids were programming, a floor routine. Every sphere, they were in partners. They had to have a floor routine. They had a big tub, and it was a swimming. They had a program, their spheroid to swim and turn around, do a flip turn and come back. And then they had an opening routine. And it was just really neat to see them collaborating together, problem solving together, suffering together, and overcoming it went off the mat. We are going to get disqualified. I mean, just problem solving and figuring it out, and all just great conversations and things that I got to. There are great things happening in our buildings. I love these school visits. I don't think I missed anything, but that's it.
School visits are coming fast and furious, and they're wonderful. So thank you to all of those school buildings that hosted me, to the principals who took time out, to those achievement directors that came by, and to the classroom teachers who were busily engaged with students doing amazing work. They truly practice the art and science of teaching. They're getting smarter and smarter and engaging with everything from brain science to social emotional learning, and they're doing that to deliver extraordinary learning experiences that really prepare these kids for joyful learning lives, and I love that. So many thanks for those school visits. Started the month a month ago with the ARC luncheon, and ended mine with a visit to Fletcher Miller Special School, where many of our medically fragile and developmentally disabled students get a wonderful education, develop their ability to communicate independently, transition into opportunities to really engage with the community and live flourishing lives. Also went to the RSA breakfast, and I wanted to say thank you so much to all of those. RSA, it means Arvada Wheat Ridge Service Ambassadors for Youth, and they take very seriously this commitment to say we're going to honor and support through scholarships, small and college scholarships, students who have overcome obstacles. And I wanted to share with our community the impact of something like that. RSA shared with us this. They're proud of the many grants and the college scholarships, and they wanted to share what they've learned from surveys with these students. 48% were able to avoid incurring student debt. 57% of them state they would not have been able to attend college if it were not for their scholarship, and more than half of our scholars were first-generation college students. And on a more personal note, they learned that 75% of their scholars stated that receiving a scholarship increased their confidence in their own ability to meet educational goals, and because of that, 80% have said they're inspired to give back to their community once they're able. So it's really planting the seeds of the next generation of people who support young students in Jeffco. So thank you, RSA, for that. Warren Tech, in addition to the great tours, hosted their advisory meeting. They do that once annually, where every program connects with business partners to really develop next steps for their program to be sure students exit with world-ready skills, everything from cybersecurity to automotive mechanics to outdoor education. So many thanks for the partners who support that. And then I'll just end by saying, Dr. Glass, thank you for the Jeffco Generations. It's given our community a lot to think through, talk about, and plan for our students' experiences. So it was a busy month, and I can't wait for the next one.
Thank you, Ms. Stevens. We'll move now to...
I'm sorry. May I pause?
You may.
So this is not reflecting on the last month, but on what's coming up next week. I do want to make sure our community knows that our Jeffco Schools Foundation is hosting its Hero Awards next week, Thursday, and I have postcards that can tell you a little bit more about that event. We're going to be honoring educators as well as students and really celebrate all that they've done to overcome obstacles and practice excellence. And it's an extremely inspiring event, and it also generates resources to continue inspiring work for kids and give them opportunities. So if you don't have plans for next Thursday, please make them and join the Jeffco Schools Foundation for their Heroes Awards. And if you're not leaving before the next break, I'm happy to give this to you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. We could go to break fairly quickly if we need to, Ms. Stevens, but we'll not worry about that. We'll move now to item 6.01 on our agenda, which is correspondence. Public correspondence received by the Board of Education is available in the book on the table outside of the auditorium for public review. Moving now to 6.02, which is public comment. And surprise of all surprises, I do not have anyone signed up to speak, to engage in public comment on part one of public comment tonight, which is that component related specifically to our agenda. Therefore, we will move to our consent agenda. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move that the items on the consent agenda be approved as proposed.
Is there a second?
I second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the consent agenda. Discussion.
Can I just clarify one thing? I'm trying to find this quickly. Earlier in the week, I did not yet see student representatives named on the calendar committee, but we have those now, correct? Thank you.
Yes. Okay, hearing no further discussion, roll call, please.
Ms. Harmon?
Yes.
Ms. LaSalle?
Yes.
Mr. Mitchell?
Yes.
Mr. Rupert?
Yes.
Ms. Stevens?
Yes.
Okay, we'll move now to item 8, our 801, our discussion agenda. As stated in Board Executive Limitation Policy EL-14, school year calendar, the superintendent may not fail to... Whoops.
You're ahead.
I'm ahead?
We don't have a discussion agenda. We are moving to the policy work.
Policy work.
Yep.
Wait. I thought that was the policy work message. Sorry, we'll go to it. We'll go to our policy work agenda. I got something out of order there, Ms. Neal. The annual work plan for the Board of Education includes the review of governance process, GP, or executive limitation, EL, board policies monthly. The board has received executive limitation policy, EL-7, asset protection. Board members, were there any revisions that you wanted to suggest on EL-7? Nope. Hearing no revisions, we will move to our next agenda item. Again, we're under policy review. This one, EL-14, is before us for review. We have reviewed executive limitation policy EL-14. We've been provided with minor revisions by staff. Do we have any other revisions to EL-14, which is related to our school calendar? Hearing none there, we will take the proposed revisions and slight modifications that have come to us under study, and we'll schedule them for action at the December 5th meeting, which then moves us to public comment part two on our agenda. And we do have people signed up to address the board under public comment part two. as we have under 11 individuals, we will allocate 3 minutes to each individual speaker. We do have one group that would like to address the board tonight, and we'll allocate 10 minutes to that. And I think I'm going to assume that the people who will address the board understand our expectations regarding respect and respectful treatment here in the boardroom. So let's get started with public comment part two. Our first group would be Lisa Lee, I believe a teacher at Wheat Ridge High School. And colleagues, I would like you to bring the group with you, Ms. Lee, and please either introduce them or you may introduce them.
My name is Lisa. I'm Lisa Lee, and these are some pretty wonderful people. Connor Horseman, a senior in our program. Zara Bailey, a junior in our program. Elliot Holm, my co-teacher, co-facilitator. Annie Bitsy, our cheerleader for the world. And Connie Brown, resource teacher at Wheat Ridge High School for the GT program. Connor, I'm going to let you speak first.
Give me a second. I got to pull it up. I have it written down. I don't have it memorized. Okay. So my name is Connor Horseman. I'm a senior at Wheat Ridge High School. I've been in the program all 4 years of my Wheat Ridge career. And I just wanted to thank the committee. I was selected to participate in the RIE that took place a week and a half ago to discuss funding, and have been a part of this process since the initial board meetings and committees last year. I spoke at both of them. While I was initially skeptical about the rapid improvement event due to the severe time crunch, we had a three-day period with 12 hours total rather than a four-day period with triple that time. I quickly saw over the three-day event the effectiveness of both the process and the members of the committee. I have complete faith that the recommendation we submitted to Dr. Glass at the end of that committee is both sound, both structurally and economically, and takes into consideration the perspectives of and biases of many different types of stakeholders, from members of the SAC committee to students like myself, and especially the two GT coordinators, Lisa Lee and Elliot Holm. I just wanted to thank you, the board, for providing us with the opportunity to cooperate and reach a mutually satisfactory recommendation for the continuation of the Jeffco GT program at Wheat Ridge High School, and I will let my...
Craig told me I'm supposed to say I'm not a resident of the district, and I am a district staff member. I forgot. Sorry, Craig. I always do what he says now that I've been on RIE with him. He's kind of important. I am Lisa Lee, as I said before, and one of the co-facilitators in the program, and was also a member of the RIE. And I want to say we thought, Dr. Glass, that you were going to make the read the recommendation at the beginning of the meeting. So, Craig, just like beat me if I say things that aren't ready to be out yet, okay? I don't think I'm giving any secrets away, though, in my public comment. And unlike you, Dr. Glass, when I heard about RIE, you thought it was a, what did you say? Yeah, a movie. I thought it was a weight loss program, rapid improvement, right? And so I signed up, but it wasn't that. But I would like to thank the district and the board for the importance you placed on getting the RIE going. Just in terms of human resources in the room, it spoke volumes in terms of the value and the commitment that you were making to get things straightened out. It was very interesting. Like, I've always seen Kathleen Askelson from the back when she speaks, and to watch her mouth move when she talks was awesome. Everyone that was here from the district, I just felt like was there in such a supportive manner. It is no secret that I'm a fierce advocate for our program, and I sometimes think I sound like a Hallmark card with a Southern accent, but I know I was born to do this. This is the work I was born to do. And I was a little defensive and skeptical going into the whole process. And if I am saying that I was very satisfied with the end result, I just want you to know that that's saying a lot, because I have been fighting pretty, you know, I was ready to kind of fight if I had to and didn't have to. It really worked. I realize there's going to be a lot of people that won't support the decision once it comes out, which we said, you know, we're kind of damned if we do and damned if we don't, because that's the beauty of our democratic process here in America, that we can all disagree or agree, and it's okay for both ways. but I have some skin in this fight. And I want to go on record as saying that my co-facilitator of the program, both of us are in full agreement and support of the recommendation that has been made to Dr. Glass. Both of the students standing here were also on the RIE with us. The three-day process was not easy. I left the second day with an eye twitch and a really bad headache, and I picked up applications at Target on the way home. But we came back, we hammered it out, and the end result is that I believe our program will be better and stronger. But you know what? Contrary to what some people believe, we really do know this is not all about us. There's 85,000-plus students in this district, and I'm thrilled to get the focus off our program. And the cool thing, I think, about what we came up with is that we're proving it's not only sustainable, but replicable, if that's the way to say that word. So it has been a huge learning experience for us and for our students. And I'm very, very proud of our students, but I really am ready not to be a hot topic anymore. At the end of our budgeting presentation, I asked Kathleen during RIE, how did we get here? And I guess I wish we had done RIE months ago, because I, for one, I have so much more understanding and awareness of the big picture. But it is what it is, and I'm just as ready as you are to move on. We are a district of 85,000 strong, and I'm ready for my students to go to the State House and talk about Tabor and Gallagher. When my co-facilitator spoke at the 100-day long meeting in February, he told a parable in which the question was asked, will the children be well? And that is all any of us have wanted for this from the outset. And I say tonight the answer from us, Elliot and myself, is yes, our children will be well. And we thank you for the time you've taken to get us to where we are. Thank you.
I want to pause here for a moment because, we are entering a new chapter in this, work with Wheat Ridge High School and the GT program. But for those of you who are here tonight and have been a part of that, especially the students, I want you to know that I don't necessarily want to schedule a late night meeting like that again, but I do want you to know that I enjoyed the speeches that each of the students from the Wheat Ridge GT program gave to the board that night, and it was worth staying up late for, so thank you for that.
And you want to strongly encourage them to go to the legislature and talk about funding.
Well, I hope you have as great an impact down there as you did on, on your local Board of Education. How's that, Mr. Rupert? All right, you guys. You were impressive that night. We'll move now to an individual speaker on part two of public comment, Robert Greenewalt.
Good evening. I realize that there are many people who think that Jason Glass is the next best thing since sliced bread. I'm not one of them. Actually, I think he's a fraud. Let me start with his record of academic growth and achievement in Eagle. After 4 years under Glass, Eagle's growth and achievement scores were still no better than Jeffco's. How do we expect him to move the academic needle in Jeffco when he couldn't do it at a district 12 times smaller? To make matters worse, there are no academic performance incentives in his contract, similar to Cindy's and Dan's. Since removing these incentives doesn't seem like something a reasonable board would do, I'm only left to wonder who suggested that change to the contract and why. Glass recently wrote, as a public servant, I'm prohibited from encouraging any vote for or against any issue or person on the ballot. But within the last 2 weeks, Glass has been writing on the issues blog posts that were obviously aimed at supporting the incumbents. Couldn't he have waited until after the election to avoid any perception of partiality? Why was this so urgent? People would have been outraged if Dan pulled a stunt like this. In a Twitter exchange, I asked Glass if he was going to write a post regarding Brad Rupert's repeated and unprovable claims that teacher compensation increases slowed teacher churn. He told me to stay tuned. Teacher turnover can be attributed to any number of factors such as spouse relocation, pregnancy, career change, changing positions within the district, firing, and yes, sometimes finding a position with more money. Therefore, saying compensation increases reduce teacher turnover is wrong, because the district doesn't perform exit surveys to actually find out why teachers leave. The biggest myth, though, is that Glass will listen to anyone. He came to the district with great fanfare as a listener and unifier. I've already debunked the unifier myth with his election-related writing, as he has clearly taken a side. However, Glass's claim of wanting to listen is also not true. I have personally engaged Glass on Twitter, email, and his blog since May with allegations that a member of his cabinet has repeatedly lied, something a reasonable leader would want to know. No response. In addition, the district's website clearly states that Glass wants to engage in the community on Twitter. Unfortunately, that offer to engage appears to only mean those people who shower accolades on the district and Glass. He has blocked me and other dissenters on Twitter. I understand blocking. I've blocked racists and people who send explicit photos. However, I've never done that with Glass. Twitter is, after all, supposed to be about dialogue. I've advocated for 100% college and career readiness. I've compared the mediocre Jeffco academic growth and achievement scores with the even worse growth and achievement scores in Eagle County. I've questioned his ability to find $300,000 for an assistant and consulting company when only a few short months ago a school was closed in an effort to save only twice that amount. I've questioned his ethics in getting involved in a campaign. I question why he doesn't have pay-based performance in his contract. For that, I was blocked. And I'm not the only person that's been blocked as Glass attempts to project an image of listening while also attempting to protect his personal brand and avoid listening to all views. If he's going to say he is willing to engage, then he should engage with everyone, particularly if he promises that opportunity on a district website and uses business time to tweet. Jason Glass is a fraud. He wants everyone to think one thing, that he listens to everyone, but his actions toward people that have differing perspectives are quite the opposite.
We'll move now to our policy, or no, our agenda review.
Order calendar.
Ms. Neal, thanks for joining us. Would you like to go over our future agenda with us, please?
Sure. Your next meeting is a special meeting on November 15th in the morning from 10 to 11:30. It is the Deliver Ed report to the district. We'll have spent a couple of days there, and so you'll be meeting with members of cabinet to hear their findings. Then your study session of the next evening, November 16th, begins at 5 o'clock. You'll have some time with the Financial Oversight Committee members again, speaking to the first quarter financial report for this school year. Then you'll receive a budget update, which is, as mentioned a little earlier, the governor's proposed budget and our current status looking forward, and how we will be doing public engagement in the process. Then a discussion or information, actually, about general obligation refunding, bond refunding. And then you'll have a 90-minute presentation on the entrepreneurial efforts that are underway in the district as far as school programming. Then you have a special meeting on the 27th of November, which is the Oath of Office and Reorganization. That is a Monday, but it is the first opportunity after we have the canvas finalized by the county, so that meeting is at 5 o'clock in the boardroom. And then you have your next regular meeting December 7th after your CASB conference. And I could review that content, but that seems like a lot.
Okay. Board, are we comfortable with the agenda that is before us?
Yes. Where's the meeting on the 15th?
It is in the boardroom.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to that debrief of the Deliver Ed. Thanks for putting that forth.
I'm noticing up above that we have something else listed for November 16th, but we do have a full agenda. Will that likely fall before winter break or maybe fit in somewhere sometime in spring? With the equity adequacy reports?
I think you'll be having some SBB conversations in the budget update.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So that 16th is the night of our board member swearing-in ceremony. Am I computing this correctly?
The 16th is your normal Thursday second meeting in the month study
session.
Okay. And then you follow that on the 27th after Thanksgiving, the Monday after, with the oath of office and reorganization.
So that's Monday after Thanksgiving. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Gordon?
Nope.
Hearing nothing, Nothing. Thank you, Ms. Neal. Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
I'm hearing no comments. And I think that concludes our agenda, and therefore this meeting is adjourned at 7:05 p.m. on November 2nd, 2017.